The following shiur has been presented by Rabbi Mordechai Merzel, Rabbinic Coordinator at the Orthodox Union, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
The center can be reached for dispute resolution and many other halachic services at 888-485-VAD or at thehalachacenter.org.
Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Samech Vav Amid Beis, brings a fascinating machlokes about Reichel Milsa or Reichel Lav Milsa. It's difficult even just to translate what that means. It's machlokes Rava and Abaye as to whether something's a smell that emanates from an usur thing will be itself usur. Is the smell itself, do we actually deal with it as a real thing that can be usur, or do we not say such a thing? And there's a number of questions that pop up immediately when we try to understand the shita of Reicha Milsa. Abaye says Reicha Milsa in our Gemara, and Rava says Reicha Lav Milsa. It's difficult to try to understand exactly what Reicha Milsa would mean within Shitas Abaye. The Gemara gave a couple different cases, applications, where Reicha Milsa would apply. One of them is the Tanur Shehisiko Bechamon Shel Truma, the Afubo Es Hapas, where you first you finished up your oven and you burned something that is fragrant in it and made a fire out of that fragrant matter, which is Chamon Shel Truma. So it is Asur to a non-Kohen. And then after that Tanur is then finished being fired up, you then bake bread in the oven, and the bread has absorbed, well, what has it absorbed? It hasn't absorbed tam. We're not talking about the bread absorbing flavor. The fragrance of the wood that was burned in the oven has, as it were, infected the bread that is later baked in the oven. And so that is one application where Reicha, according to Abaye, you might say Reicha Milsa, where the truma, that is the fragrant source of the fire that fired up the oven and finished up the oven, that fragrance has then entered the bread that you bake later in the day. That's one possibility. Another possibility is where one puts warm bread over a barrel of wine. And again, the wine and the bread never touch one another, but somehow the fragrance of the wine itself infects the bread. And then when one eats the bread, it seems to be that, according to Abaye, you would be as if you were eating the fragrance as well. And Reicha Milsa would tell you that it's forbidden to ingest that Reicha. So that would be itself, to some degree, easily understood. We could say that I understand that when one eats something which has absorbed a fragrance, that might be forbidden. But the first case that the Gemara brought of Bas Tiha is a little bit more difficult to understand. The case of Bas Tiha, of course, is where you have some kind of hole in the barrel of wine that's there in order to smell the wine. And the Yisrael, the wine is Aser, and the Yisrael goes there, can he smell through that hole in the barrel or not? And if we are told that according to Abaye, if Reicha Milsa, it is forbidden to smell that. And that's a lot harder, perhaps, to understand than the first two cases we discussed, the cases of the breads. After all, we know that there are Isurei Achila, and I can understand that if I eat something which has absorbed a fragrance, taste and smell are very well connected, as we all know. It's hard to taste something when our senses of smell when our sense of smell is dulled. And so we could understand that if I try to eat a piece of bread that has absorbed the fragrance of something that is usur, we could understand somehow that might be forbidden itself. It's yet another step, however, to say that smelling wine that is usur, that itself would be forbidden. How would we understand that isur? If we hold Reicha Milsa, so what is it that I am doing that when I smell that wine, that is usur? I'm not eating the smell. It's not like the cases of the breads where I'm ingesting a smell through eating. We are very familiar with Isurei Achila. I can't eat things, so it would be normal to assume that there's an Isur Achila. But if I'm only smelling this wine, what is it that makes it Usur? So, of course, Tosfos addresses that. And Tosfos says that it is as if you are drinking, when you're smelling that wine, it is as if you are drinking it. And that, according to Abaye at least, it is as if you are drinking it, and Recha Milsa, that's what it means. Recha Milsa in such a case would mean that the fragrance of that wine is so strong that it is as if I have drunk it when I smell it. So now that we know that according to Tosfos, the case of Bas Tiha, the Reach of Bas Tiha, according to Abaye, is like Shtia, so now we can delve a little bit deeper and ask some more questions. Tosfos, in the middle of Dibur HaMaschil Rava, is Michalik between the case of Bas Tiha and some other cases, applications of Recha Milsa. Tosfos says that according to Abaye, it is possible to say that the case of Bas Tiha is more chamur than other cases of Recha. The reason for that it would be is that when I smell through the Bas Tiha, I'm doing nothing, I'm ingesting nothing more than the Reach of the Yayin. There is no heter in there. It's not a taruvos of heter. I am only taking in the smell of the Reach of something that is Aser, which is considered, according to Abaye, like Shtia. So I'm basically drinking that forbidden wine. Whereas one could say within Abaye, it is possible for Abaye to say that even though drinking or smelling, which equals drinking that wine, is forbidden, nonetheless, perhaps when Recha mixes in with a piece of bread or some other davar heter, and I eat that mutter thing that happens to have some reach of a forbidden thing, perhaps Abaye in that case would say that that is not a case of Recha Milsa. Perhaps Abaye only says Recha Milsa when I'm doing nothing more than ingesting the reach of the davar ha'isur itself. But when I ingest, when I'm eating a piece of some of heter that happens to have been next to something that was usur and had some recha absorbed into it, maybe Abaye would say that that's mutter. And that type of a chilek that Tosva says can actually lead to a deeper question. And we can ask it, we'll give credit to Rav Breineman in Chidushim Ubiurim. He asks it in the following manner, but it's been asked by many of the Mefarshim on the Gemara when they're trying to understand the very nature of Recha Milsa. The Gemara in Psachim brings another case of Recha Milsa, and that case is where I am cooking side by side two pieces of meat in the same tanner. So I'm cooking two pieces of meat in the same tanner, in the same oven, and those two pieces of meat do not touch. There is no zeya, there's no visible steam going around infecting one with the other, and one of those pieces of meat is mutter, and one of those pieces of meat is usur. The Gemara in Psachim says that that is a case of potential Recha Milsa, and says that over there's a machlokes Rav and Levi. Rav says that the reach of the usur piece of meat will infect the mutter piece of meat and make that meat usur as well, because Recha Milsa. And Levi says that is not true, Recha Lav Milsa, and that second piece of meat will remain mutter as it was before. So let's deal with that case. It's a little bit simpler. So where I have two pieces of meat cooking in a tanur, there is no zeya, there is only recha. And Rav holds Recha Milsa. So asks Rav Greinemann, we know that tam ki'ikar midoraisa. We paskin that if I have a piece of food that was cooked in a non-kosher pot, that my food has become not kosher. Why has that food become not kosher? There's no actual mamushas of Isser in it. It's because of tam ki'ikar. There is tam from the last time I cooked in this pot, I cooked non-kosher, and now I am cooking kosher, so the tam of the original non-kosher has infected my kosher food. That's tam ke'ikr. How do we know tam ke'ikr is d'oraisa? So the Gemara tells us there's a few different possible drushos, but we needed a drusha from the pasuk to make it a din d'oraisa. In other words, it wasn't pashut. The Gemara the Chumash tells us that a nevela is aser ba'achila, but the Chumash had to give us a special chiddush, a special limud, to tell us that tam nevela is aser midoraisa. How do I know that if the nevela is gone and all I'm left with is tam, that is still forbidden? So that was a special drusha in the pasuk. So if it took a special drusha to teach us tam ki'ikr, that tam is aser, so chora it should also. If we're going to paskin that reicha milsa and that the reyach of something is aser, I would need lichora some kind of pasuk to teach me such a chiddush. If tam ki'ikr is something I would not know without a special drasha, so kal v'chomer reyach, which is even less of a remnant of the original nevela, for sure the reyach I should need a special drasha to teach me. So how do I know? How does Rav know to say reicha milsa? I can understand. Like Tosva says, if Abaye holds that smelling a bas tiha, so much of the smell, it's a very strong smell from an alcoholic beverage, it goes up into my nose and it's like shtia, and somehow Abaye might know that being meriach, smelling such a wine is like shtia, but where a smell of one piece of meat infects another piece of meat, to say that is aser, how would you know such a thing? Even if tam ki'ikr is d'oraisa, I need a drasha, so for sure, for reyach, I should need a drasha. That's Rav Greinemann's question. So perhaps we can get back to that in a couple minutes. But for now, it's probably a good idea to take a look at the Rif in Chulin. The Rif in Chulin is a good starting point for anyone who wants to try to understand Reicha Milsa. The Rif brings this case that we just described of Rav and Levi, where you have Basar Shchuta and Basar Nevela both sitting in the oven. And the Rif paskins that Reicha is Lav Milsa. And one of the things the Rif says has intrigued many Mefarshim. One of the things the Rif says is that Rav, who paskins Reicha Milsa in such a case, is going l'shitaso that min bimino is not batal. That the reason Rav says that the reyach of the usher of the nevela meat infects the mutter meat is because Rav's going l'shitaso that min bimino is not batal. And everybody asks on the Rif, what does Reicha Milsa have to do with min bimino not being batal? These should be separate issues. So the Stipler in Kiddush Yaakov on Psachim explains that the Rif really is saying for different reasons that he paskins Reicha is lav milsa. But as an additional factor, in addition to the fact that in general we paskin Reicha Lav Milsa, the Rif is saying another detail. That in the specific case of two pieces of meat, one nevela and one not nevela, in the same oven, where Rav holds that the reyach of the usher one will infect the mutter one, says the Rif, that specific case would only be Rav L'shitaso, that min bimino is not batal, that min bimino b'mashehu. And the Stipler learns from this that it must be that the way the Rif understands the sugya of Reicha is that the Reach of something, if Reicha Milsa, if we would hold that Reach is Asur, the reason for that is that the Reach of something is made up of Mashehuyin, little pieces of Mashehu, a little Mashehus of that Isser, combined to create the smell of that Isser. And therefore, although the Rif does not paskin that way, according to Rav, who paskins that Reicha Milsa, what Rav is really saying is that these pieces of Reach are really Mashehus, small pieces of Mamashus that would come and infect. And if that's true, says the Rif, that how can it be that the one piece of meat, the reach of that meat, will infect the other piece of meat, even if it is mashehu, a mashehu we know is going to generally be batel? So it must be that the reason Rav says that even in the case of two pieces of meat in the oven, that the reach will not be batel is because Rav is lishitaso, that when it comes to min bimino, two pieces of the same type, there's no bittel. So min bimino, ain't no batel, and that's why the mashehuyin, which combined to create the reach, would aser, according to Rav, the formerly mutter piece of meat. We see from this a very fundamental fact about what reach is. And we can attempt to then answer why it is that reicha could be usher. And that is as follows. According to the Slipler, reach is comprised of mashuhuyin, real pieces of mamashus of the original isser. Those pieces of isser would generally be so small as to not be as to be batel, certainly in more than shishim, when they would combine with another piece of mutter meat. And therefore, according to us, we who paskin min bimino is not bimashehu, we paskin min bimino can be batel, so since you cannot sense the reach of iser, and since there is enough to be mevatel in the mutter, in the piece of mutter meat, there is enough to be mevatel those small pieces of mashehu which comprise the reach. Therefore, for us, even if we were to hold min bimino, even if we were to hold that reicha milsa, the mutter piece of meat would remain mutter. However, if we were talking about min be'eno mino, for instance, a piece of the smell of the kamon and then the smell of the pas in our Gemara, the taste of the pas, where the pas now has absorbed the smell from what was previously burning in the oven, and now even though it's just pieces of mashehu, and under normal circumstances pieces of mashehu are indeed going to be batel, nonetheless, since that reach can be sensed in the pas, if I were to bite into the pas, I may not fully taste it, but I would be able to sense an essence of the original usr, of the original iser, whose reach has infected this pas. As a result, we know that we paskin, at least midrabanon, we paskin that if the original iser can be sensed, then even if it would normally be batel on a dilraisa level, nonetheless, Chazal said that such a taruvus would be usr. So therefore, what comes out is, according to the Stipler, we can define reicha as follows. Reicha is pieces of mashehu. And normally, pieces of mashehu would be batel in the mutter piece of food. However, when one can sense the reach, those pieces of those little mashehus of iser, when one can sense it, there is a din derabanan, a gzer derabanan, that says that you still cannot eat the mutter piece of food that has absorbed the little mashehus which comprise reach. As a result, that's why the pas would be forbidden. What about the case of bastiha? So the case of bastiha is where I stick my nose directly to the wine and I inhale. So even though that's not necessarily going through my mouth, what am I doing? I am inhaling, essentially, mashehus of iser. Those mashehus of iser are going down my nose, into my palate, and into my throat. And it could be that according to this understanding of the mitzius of reicha milsa, it could be that the case of bastia would be a real iser, that for me to smell an iser, even just an iser achila, something that's not aser bahana, even just an iser achila, for me to smell it, it could be that if you really understand that the reach is comprised of mashehus, that it could be that it's really forbidden for me to do it even on a d'oraisa level, because we know that a mashehu of iser is aser. But certainly when it's a taruvos, it would only be aser on a d'rabanan level. It is interesting to note that although Tosfos explained that our sugya here in Avodah Zarah is talking about an isser of shtia, that when Abaye says Recha Milsa, he really means that it is as if you are drinking it, there is a shita in the Rishonim, that is the Ravid, who holds that really Recha Milsa in our sugya has nothing to do with an isser achila, has nothing to do with shtia, and Recha Milsa in our sugya, where we have a machlokes, Recha Milsa, when it comes to wine, is only because Yayin Nesnech is Aser Behana. And he goes through the whole sugya to fit it in. But essentially what that means is that, at least in Avodah Zarah, the sugya of Recha Milsa is saying that really there is no iser to somehow eat Recha. That's not the point here. And the question then of Rav Greineman would not apply. There is no iser in our Gemara that talks about the iser of eating Reach, whatever that would mean. Rather, our sugya is saying that because Yayin Nesech is Aser Behana, Abaye says that one of those Hanas that is Aser, one of those Hanas would be smelling it directly. And Rava would say, the way Tosva says, Rava would say, it is Mutter to smell it, even though in general Hana from Yayin Nesech is Aser, nonetheless, smelling concentrated wine from a barrel will be mazik. It hurts your nose, like smelling horseradish. It hurts your nose. Therefore, there is no hana. So, according to the Ravid, it's important to note that our whole sugya is only talking about isuri hana and has no bearing whatsoever on isuri achila. But the way Tosfos and many of the Rishonim explain it, our sugya had to do specifically with isur achila, and then we have to figure out what kind of an iser achila we're dealing with when we're dealing with reach, and according to the Stipler, at least, what that means is we are dealing with iser reach, which is comprised of mashahus of the original iser, and that original iser will at least make a taruvos aser midrabbanan, since one can sense the reach in the food that one is eating.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org. Or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.